No woman in the West holds so great a position as Madame Chiang Kai-shek holds in China. So proclaimed Time magazine upon naming Generalissimo and Madame Chiang Kai-shek Man and Wife of the Year for 1937. Madame Chiang, whose given name was Sung Mei-ling, died yesterday at the age of 105. Born in Shanghai in 1898, Madame Chiang was educated in the United States. After her marriage to General Chiang Kai-shek in 1927, she took on the role of top advisor to her husband and became to the outside world the public face of nationalist China. In 1943, she galvanized Washington with a speech before Congress appealing for help in China's fight against the Japanese.
I can also assure you that China is eager and ready to cooperate with you and other people to lay a true and lasting foundation for a sane and progressive world society which would make it impossible for any arrogant or predatory neighbor to plunge future generations into another orgy of blood.
Joining us to talk about the extraordinary life of Madame Chiang is William Kirby, a historian of modern China and also Dean of the Faculty of Arts and Sciences at Harvard University. Professor Kirby, Madame Chiang Kai-shek, first of all, came from a very illustrious family, I gather.
Yes, she did. Her father, Charles Sung, educated in this country as a Christian missionary. He worked closely with Sun Yat-sen.
In fact, Sun Yat-sen became his son-in-law.
Sun Yat-sen became his son-in-law and Madame Chiang's brother-in-law, indeed.
Madame Chiang was the public face of nationalist China for much of the world. She was also a diplomat of sorts. I mean, she came to deal with FDR, with Churchill, face-to-face quite often.
She was an extraordinary diplomat. Chiang Kai-shek's government pursued a great variety of international relationships with Germany at one point, with the Soviet Union at another point. But eventually, the United States became the one power that could come and help China after its attack by Japan. And Sung Mei-ling, Madame Chiang, signified to many Americans China during the Second World War.
Is it unfair to say that hers was the charming Christian face of what was also a rather corrupt nationalist government in China?
It is fair to say that she embodied a Christian, potentially democratic China that would be almost without effort an American ally. This was not the China of reality. The nationalist government was a dictatorial, developmental government. It did not imagine itself to be a puppet or inevitable ally of the United States. But as Chinese-American cooperation became essential for both the U.S. and China, particularly after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, she did a great deal to smooth the public face of their relationship.
Within a few years after the end of the Second World War, the nationalist government was reduced to governing the island of Taiwan. The communists controlled the mainland. Did she retain any significance on the world stage after Chiang Kai-shek no longer was the leader of a billion people?
Her significance on the world stage did obviously inevitably diminish. By that point in time, Chiang Kai-shek's own reputation had deteriorated in the United States. President Truman, before the end of the Communist Revolution, had despaired of sending ever more funds to the nationalists, had come privately to call Chiang Kai-shek, cash my check. Madame Chiang, nevertheless, became a spokesman for the anti-communist crusade in this country and remained, surely, a highly influential advisor to her husband until his health began to deteriorate in the early 1970s.
William Kirby, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
William Kirby is a historian of modern China at Harvard University. He spoke to us from Cambridge, Massachusetts.